Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Oh, I'm starting this, the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, the first full edition of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Overwhelmed with what I just watched. I'm recording this on Thursday night, late into the night, so if I sound a little loopy or funny, forgive me. The no alcohol has been consumed for this here podcast. It is a very PG-13 podcast. However, how can you not be completely flabbergasted with what you watched after a 5-4 overtime victory for our Bolts over the Dallas Stars? You know, I don't typically consume the NHL regular season game by game. That's how you die at 55, 60 years old, because there's 82 of these things. And if you use any one hockey game as a be-all, end-all, as a referendum on who you are or who you aren't, you're just a fan who likes blood pressures being raised for no good reason. You know, football's different. 12 college football games, 16 regular season NFL games. These things all matter and matter greatly. But hockey, baseball, basketball, context matters a lot. However, with all of that said, you really could talk about this Lightning-Dallas game for about a half an hour with all the stuff that went on. The good, the things you could be proud of, the bad, and you could be angry at, you know, the Lightning for what we did or did not do. You could be angry at the officials for what they did or did not call, or the off-ice officials for not stopping the clock or stopping play when the clock is not moving for better than 6-7 seconds inside of 40 seconds to go. I mean, there's just so much going on in this most recent game that the Bolts played. But to this point this week, the Lightning have 5 out of a possible 6 points. They beat Toronto on Monday night 4-3 in a shootout. And then last night, again, I'm recording this late night Thursday into early Friday morning. So a listless effort against Buffalo, followed by getting on a plane, going out to Dallas, and then a game of games. This is not how you draw it up. This is not winning hockey, but it was entertaining as hell. And the Bolts come away with 2 important points to keep ahead of Boston in the Atlantic Division race. Boston, a big-time winner over Pittsburgh on Thursday night. They put an 8th spot. My goodness, a snowman up on the Pens to stay with the Lightning. They're 6 points back of Tampa Bay with 3 games in hand. So, yeah, the Lightning are in a good position, still in the driver's seat in the Atlantic Division. But here we are, man. I'll start chronologically with this Dallas game and things that I did like. And it's a newcomer that was the first thing that jumped off the page to me. JT Miller is a good hockey player. It's going to be easy to like JT Miller. They list him at what, 6'1"? I get that hockey skates make you taller, but he looks a lot bigger than a 6'1" hockey player when he is on the ice. This is a player that operates well on the boards. He operates well in tight areas and is physical enough to win pucks for you and get him out to open areas for your skill players. He's even got some skill himself. A couple of plays that stand out tonight, not just the assist. There was one shot he generated for himself in the first period where he gets to the faceoff dot and fires and rifles one past Bishop, but it goes off the post. There's a lot to like about what JT does overall, but sticking to the 2 assists he had against Dallas, the second one was the one that sticks out, and I say, okay, this is something we can really work with. The Lightning are trying to get out in transition, and Stamkos is busting his butt to get up the ice. He's at full stride, and JT doubles back into the defensive zone. You're thinking, no, man, let's go. We got numbers here. Let's push the counter. Well, what he does instead as he circles back is he uses the boards, and in a nifty move, he creates some space for himself and a passing lane up the ice to Stamkos, catches Dallas asleep, and fires a missile of a pass to 91. He's in on a break, fires one between the wickets of Bishop, and the Bolts are up 4-2. Yes, sir. This is somebody who either can play with the top 6 or he's somebody that can be a matchup forward in your third line as you try and spread out some of your assets in the postseason. And before I get to what I want to talk about tonight, which is let's take a look at the roster and what we're working with for the postseason, because that's what this is all about. The President's Trophy doesn't matter, but it's how are you built for the six-week brutal run, potentially speaking, of course, that is the Stanley Cup playoffs. So quickly on a rookie making his debut, Anthony Cirelli, good on you. You play 8:38, I think it is, just shy of 9 minutes. You score a goal and an assist in your first career game. Outstanding. You'll never have production quite like that again in so few minutes on the ice. But I don't know if Cirelli is not going to sleep at all or he's going to sleep like a baby. Either way, he'll never forget a Thursday night in Dallas, March the 1st, 2018. Good on you. Let's look at the forwards and the defense and what our roster looks like now that the trading deadline is over. We did a short introductory podcast, the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the Joe Bucks Fan Podcasting Network. But now we need to get a little bit more in depth. So I broke it down this way. I looked at the forwards, and I put them in a few groups. There's the sure thing forwards, guys that are always going to be in your top six. They're going to get top 6 minutes. And then there's your wave two forwards, your second wave guys that are going to be pieced together based upon matchups, chemistry, hot hand kind of thing with your sure thing players. And then there's the third wave guys, the role player types that, you know, some guys may be scratched for a couple of games in a best of seven series, and they may rotate in and out based upon what the opponent does. If they're a slower team and you want to bring speed to the ice, you might want to play somebody different than if they're a quick team and you want to bring some grit and slow them down. So here you go. It's pretty simple. Your four sure thing forwards, Stamkos, Kucherov, Braden Point, and rookie Yanni Gourde. He's come a long way this year. We'll start there with 37. Yanni Gourde is a winning type player. And you say that and you think, oh boy, Tom, here we go. This guy's full of cliches and he doesn't know what he's talking about, so he's just going to go run to a cliche. No, here's what I mean. Yanni Gourde goes to the nasty areas on the ice. He goes to the corners, goes behind the net. He'll forecheck. It's a thankless job, but he'll do it, and he'll do it with a smile on his face, and he'll make the other team angry as he does it. This guy is a ball of fire all the time. He's just an angry player, but he channels it in the right way. He channels his aggression in the way that's going to generate some ugly goals for you in the playoffs. You know, Brian Boyle is a fan favorite here in Tampa for the few years that he played. I think it was only two and change. But the reason was he would do all of the dirty work. He'd win the ugly pucks. He'd be a guy who works hard in a penalty kill. He'd play through injuries. It was the playoff type greasy goals, as they say. You're not going to score a bunch of pretty goals in a best of seven, especially the closer you get to the cup, the nastier the game becomes. So you need a player who is willing to play in the congested areas of the rink and a guy who could come up with the puck. Yanni Gourde is that player, and he's doing it in what qualifies as his rookie season. He is an invaluable piece as we push forward in the equation now running towards June. Braden Point, what more can you say about him? He's closing in on 30 goals already. He is a matchup center. His faceoffs are his weakness. Hopefully that comes along as he develops. But Point will match up against the best line the other team has to offer, and yet he'll still score you 30 goals. He's just invaluable himself. I mean, think about those two in a Lightning uniform for a long time to come. That's a really attractive thought. Stamkos is as complete a player as he's ever been. He has earned the C in a whole new way 2017-2018 for a couple of reasons. Stammer has always been a sniper. He's always been a goal scorer. That's what he was branded as he was the number one overall pick in the draft. And he delivered on that right away. Marty St. Louis helped accentuate just how good Stamkos was for the first few years of his career. Steve Downey did for a little while as well. But what Steven's doing this year, the two things he's doing differently, his vision is in a place I never thought it would be. He's a playmaker now, too. Steven Stamkos sees the ice and is able to execute on what he sees in such a way that he resembles Marty St. Louis when he first came into the league. Look at his goals to assist ratio. I mean, you know, he started to pick up the goal scoring as we got to the middle of the season, the back half or the second half of the season, I should say. But Stammer is a playmaker on offense. He's a multifaceted weapon. He's not somebody who will stand at the high slot and force you to go like a Yanni Gourde will into the corners and go get you a puck. No, he'll go get the puck himself, and he'll set up players in high percentage situations, putting him in a great position to score goals. The other thing that Stammer does so much better now, and you're seeing him rewarded for it, Steven's so much better in the defensive zone than he's ever been. You know, I could recall playing, I think it was the 2015 playoffs, first round against Detroit. This is when Stammer was in a bad way. I mean, he was slumping. He was not putting anything up on the score sheet. He was trying his best to be a responsible defensive forward, but he really wasn't that good at that. He was good for a couple of hits a game, and he'd try. The effort was there, but he wasn't really good at it. His instincts in the defensive zone are exceptional this year. There was a play that Engblom highlighted on the Sun Sports broadcast in the second period. I think it was the second period, where Louis Domingue, if not for Stamkos' effort on the back post, is going to give up a backdoor goal. It looked like an innocent play, but the puck finds its way across the crease from Domingue's right to his left. And if Stamkos isn't in position tying up his man, well, it's a backdoor goal and it's an ugly one. But Steven Stamkos is highly responsible in the defensive zone. So he is as complete a player as he's ever been in his career, and that bodes really well for the postseason. And Kucherov is Kucherov. How valuable is Nikita Kucherov? Well, watch us the last couple of games and tell me it doesn't make a difference that he's not on the ice. It makes a huge difference. Who are the rest of the forwards? Well, we all know the roster, but how they shake out. Obviously, in the second wave, you have a bunch of guys. JT Miller is one of them. And if he plays like he did tonight, I mean, more often, it may have just been he had a good night, and we'll see him regress to the mean a little bit. But if that's how number 10 is going to play, I mean, good Lord, he will be one of the essentials in the playoff run. But you have JT Miller there, Andre Palat when he comes back a little bit later this month from his lower body injury, his ankle injury. Tyler Johnson, of course, he'll be your third line center. Sometimes he can play wing as well, up with the first line if you need him to. Alex Killorn, Chris Kunitz, Ryan Callahan. All those guys are going to be big pieces. But again, depending upon how chemistry goes, you know, you could see the four forwards that are the sure things mixed with any number of other pieces. So that's the exciting part. I mean, John Cooper has, especially when Palat comes back, all of these options. And I like the way we have a balance between speed, skill, and a little bit of grit. This does feel like a group that will be able to hold its own physically as we get to the postseason. We'll talk a little bit about the defense on the other side. Obviously, Ryan McDonagh was not part of the lineup again on Thursday night. Looks like he'll make his debut next week against either the Panthers or his former team, the New York Rangers, both of those games in Amalie Arena. But come back, dissect that a little bit, and wrap it up on the first full edition of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast.
Taking you higher than a Dave Mishkin goal call. You're riding the lightning on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
And a hearty welcome back to you. This is the second segment of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, the first full edition of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, which is now available, I am told, and it has been tweeted out as such on iTunes. I know that's the big one for everybody, iTunes, Google Play as well. But be sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make it easier on yourself. Check out at Joe Bucks Fan on Twitter or joebucksfan.com for the link. My Twitter handle, on the other hand, is at _TomLang. You can follow me to interact with me about this here podcast, pretty much anything you want, but I will make sure that I tweet that into my feed as well. I am losing my voice a little bit as we go late into the night. It is about 12:45 a.m. here in Tallahassee, but I had to come into the studio to record for a couple of reasons tonight. Number one, I was so jazzed about what I saw in the Bolts-Dallas game. Not necessarily because we played at this level that was transcendent and it portends of a cup run. Actually, in a lot of ways, quite the opposite. But just because the game was so entertaining. I mean, 3-on-3 overtime is what it is, and that's an entertaining product in and of itself. But the whole game featured a lot of jaw-dropping moments, and it's kind of like what we were talking about or what I was talking about in the first podcast or the introductory podcast. Hockey can take your breath away. Anybody who was in attendance tonight out in Dallas, they saw a show, and they won't soon forget what they watched for 60-plus minutes. But the other reason is I'm flying up to Washington, D.C. Friday morning at 5:45 a.m., so I'm cutting it kind of close here. The weather is supposed to be terrible in D.C., so hopefully that all works out. Anyway, let's return to a couple of things. I want to touch on the defense before we sign off for this week's edition. You know, we're kind of still introducing all of the elements on the Joe Bolts Fan podcast because we're getting to know each other. You guys are listening to me and hearing my general takes on the team. We'll get more specific as the weeks go on, but I just wanted to give you a basic take on where I see the guys on the roster, you know, heading towards the playoffs. And then, you know, you'll have context if I say that I don't like a play that Schuster makes. Well, you'll say, yeah, Tom doesn't like Schuster, so he's not giving him the benefit of the doubt. You should discount what he says about Andre Schuster. Or Tom's never been on Schuster, and he's never been more correct. That guy needs to play 10 minutes or fewer. Where is Slater Cuckoo? You diehards know exactly what the hell I'm talking about, by the way. But one thing I would like to just point out here, especially as we get close to the playoffs, there's one key element that the Lightning is struggling at right now that needs to get cleaned up if we're going to go on a run. That's transition out of our own zone, and it's the ability to get the puck in deep and not try and play for offense or cute plays, but rather make the correct play. You know, John Tortorella's team back in 04, the Cup team and the ones before, they had a sign in the locker room that said, save his death. I get that. But smart is life, too, at the same time. In the third period, when you have a lead, get the puck in deep behind the net and start cycling. And if you generate an offensive chance, that's fine. That's great. That comes with the territory of having puck possession in the offensive zone. But don't try and make cute lateral plays at the opposing blue line, because you know what happens? Transition happens. A 3-on-2 happens. A 2-on-1 happens. The next thing you know, Vasilevsky or Louis Domingue has to make a big play, or Victor Hedman has to bail you out because he manages a 2-on-1 better than almost any other defenseman in the NHL. But the second part of that is you got to get out of your own defensive zone, and this is where we struggle the most, and it's the most frustrating. You know, Chief would often talk about on the Sun Sports broadcast gap control. Well, one of the key gaps is, you know, 10, 15 feet on either side of the blue line. If you have a chance to get the puck out of the zone, get the puck out of the zone. If it's to start a transition rush, then do so. If it's not, and you just have to get it out, and you get a change in the third period because you have the short change in the bench area, do that. But we turn the puck over far too often right around our blue line when the forwards are starting to activate in transition, which makes for dangerous odd man rushes and counters coming back the other way, or just in general. If we have a chance to skate it out and reset, we don't do it well enough right now. And that led to a couple of problems we had with Dallas, Buffalo, I can think of a couple of examples, Toronto as well. You know, Mikhail Sergachev is going to be a really, really good defenseman in this league. His awareness of how much time and space he has in the offensive zone, namely around the point, is exceptional. His instincts for being a defenseman in that particular part of the rink are akin to what Jonathan Drouin brought to the table as a forward. Of course, a forward should be more skilled than a defenseman in the offensive zone, but I think you take to my meaning. He shows instincts and abilities that are far beyond his age, and that makes him an exciting commodity. But number 98 needs to get a hell of a lot better really quickly at exiting our zone and doing so with care. If he doesn't, he's going to play 8 to 12 minutes in the postseason a night. That's it. Dan Girardi, if you've noticed of late, has become the Lightning's fourth defenseman. And why do I say fourth defenseman? Let me segue to that right now. We'll take a look at the defensive structure, and we'll do it the same way we did with the forwards. Sure things and kind of a tier two, tier three deal. The sure things are pretty simple. Victor Hedman, Anton Strahlman, and now Ryan McDonagh. Those are your three. And they'll account for, between them, not between them, but individually, I should say, 22 to 29 minutes a night. So, yeah, you've taken care of a big portion of every single game. In fact, Hedman may be hibernating until we play Philly at 1 o'clock tomorrow as you listen to this, 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. He played 30 minutes on Thursday night against Dallas, and he played 29 and a half Wednesday night against Buffalo. He played 28-plus on Monday against Toronto. That's what he's going to be doing in a best-of-seven series. Make no mistake about it. Ryan McDonough is going to be doing something similar, right around 25 minutes a game. I would anticipate Anton Strowman is going to play 22 to 25 minutes a game. And as it stands right now, especially if you consider that McDonough and Dan Girardi can play together, Girardi's going to play 18 to 22 minutes a night. So what do you do with the rest? That's your top four with three sure things and one rotational piece. How responsible can Sergachev be between now and the end of the season will go a long way in determining how many minutes he's going to log in the postseason. Hopefully he plays well enough down the stretch here that he can log 12 to 15 minutes a night. Anything more than that is absolute gravy. He has the skills to make a difference, but you know, I personally, I don't trust him, and I see why the coaching staff doesn't right now. Braden Coburn, I think, is your next best option. I think. Andre Schuster, they seem to love a lot. He's not terrible. He's not Matt Carl bad, but, you know, he's a little shaky, of course. And then there's Slater Cuckoo, who can really skate, but for whatever reason can't crack into the lineup. Jake Dotchin has been a disappointment this season for the Bolts. He's been the odd man out, and even the day of the trade, everybody was skating for the Lightning. All hands were on deck, and Jake Dotchin wasn't participating in the team skate. Whatever's gone on there, I think, is both a combination of mental and Lee getting some film on him. But it's not just about ability. Jake had shown last year a lot of bright spots. By the end of 2017, you're thinking, oh, well, we have another top four defenseman, and that wasn't even one of our top end, you know, prospects that we were bringing up. So here you are with your defensive situation being the big three and Dan Girardi, and you got to patchwork together the rest of the game between Sergachev, Braden Coburn, Andre Schuster, Slater Cuckoo. I do believe the Bolts will play 11-7 in the postseason. They seem to have liked that the last couple of postseason runs. But on the other end of that, if guys step up, Sergachev, Coburn, Schuster, whoever it is, if two of them step up, then perhaps you go 12-6 and you play with more flexibility in the forward area. So we shall see. There's a lot of things to iron out between now, obviously, and the end of the regular season, and they'll do some experimenting. It's not like for the best of seven you go 11-7 all the way or 12-6 all the way. We've mixed and matched in the past. A big week ahead for the Bolts on Saturday afternoon, a matinee action in Amalie Arena. Tampa Bay, Philly drop the puck at 1 o'clock shortly thereafter, I should say. Tuesday, March the 6th, that's the Florida Panthers coming to town. We haven't played Florida since, what, like October? But they're playing really good hockey right now, and they are super desperate. They have an eye on the final wild card spot. That's Tuesday at 7:30, and then Thursday, March 8th, is the last game before we sign back on for the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. That is when the New York Rangers come to town. Hello, Vladdy Namestnikov. There's still a lot more to unpack, and I look forward to doing that over the next couple of weeks. I want to try and get to the point where we're just talking about results, especially as we get into the playoffs. That's all we're going to be talking about. But, I mean, so much has happened already this season, 60-plus games, and it's been really good news. The Bolts sit at 92 points at the end of this recording of this podcast, 6 points ahead of the Boston Bruins, who do have 3 games in hand, but we are in the driver's seat, man. And we'll get that magic number rolling probably in about 2 or 3 weeks, and hopefully we can count it down to an Atlantic Division crown and the best possible path to a run at the Stanley Cup. I hope you enjoyed the first full version of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, and I look forward to speaking with you next week on the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network.